Good morning. This is Dr. Alejandro Badia with our bi-weekly episode of Fixing Healthcare from the Trenches. I'm very honored to be doing this episode here in New York. Actually, this is my New York apartment with a New York orthopedic surgeon. Dr. David Newman is orthopedic sports medicine. He is definitely a New Yorker. He trained at the other big trauma center, right? The SUNY Downstate, Kings County Medical Center, right? Did orthopedics. And then you did sports medicine at Temple. Right in Philadelphia. And he is he's a dinosaur like me. He's in solo private practice, which in New York is really impressive, right? You are the founder of New York Sports Care, but more importantly, I think, is this Pop Doc, which we're going to talk about, which is really how to bring good orthopedic care to the person's home and for them to do particularly physical therapy to recover. And avoid injury, right? Something we don't talk enough about. So welcome to the show, Dave.
So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
So tell us a little bit about how you developed Pop Doc.
It's a labor of love, really. I was doing a lot of surgery back in the 2010s, 2015. And you never know what kind of physical therapist. Well, as a sports medicine doc, I'm a huge advocate of physical therapy and staying fit. Being fit or recovering from injury the best as possible is not easy. You need to have the right guidance, the right education, and the right person overseeing your care. As an orthopedic surgeon, we are great technicians in the operating room using our hands. Really awesome, very fulfilling. But then you do the same surgery to four people, and they have such different outcomes. And you're like, what is going on here? So there's a lot of internal stuff within the individual, but the physical therapist and the guidance they get was sometimes lacking. So I turned to my good friend, a doctor of physical therapy, Karina Wu. We put together a book back in the day, and then it became a software system to help supplement physical therapy and really give people some homework to get them better, increase outcomes, diminish pain, like get rid of opioids and kind of get people on the right track to recovery. So Pop Doc was a hobby kind of business, and then recently, once digital technology came into play and it was more accepted by the population, we're more of a business-to-business solution for people and companies who want to like empower their employees or their patients or their clients to get on the trail for better healing, recovery, less pain, more function, all that great stuff.
So really shout out to the book, because for those certainly orthopedists, physical therapists, occupational therapists who may be listening, the book on shoulder therapy is tremendous. And now you have I don't have, this is more of a kind of a how-to, right?
It's a self-help kind of book, but really the software aspect, and now that people are more technically savvy, it's an easy place, an easy way for anyone guiding a patient to recovery, whether it's a personal trainer, a physical therapist, an athletic trainer, to give them some exercise that it comes right up to their phone, their tablet, or their desktop as a supplement. And so it's easy, straightforward stuff that really helps people feel better and function better. I know that I've had surgery in my life, and without a good physical therapist and without some internal drive and motivation, it's not easy.
But for this generation that it embraces, that really does almost everything with their smartphone, it makes sense, right? I mean, some of our older patients maybe don't embrace it. And I know, because I've done, you know, HEPs, right? Home exercise programs with an app. But I think that Pop Doc and some similar programs will get a lot more engagement in the coming decade.
That's the goal.
I think it goes along with what we're trying to do in our healthcare system, right?
Yeah.
Which is making it more cost effective.
And this concept of hospital at home is really kind of gaining traction. A lot of that is in the comorbid space, meaning high blood pressure, diabetes, asthma, heart disease. They do the hospital at home, so doctors can therefore see and communicate with their patients from home. Getting the durable medical equipment and the physical therapy aspects, I think that's the next like realm of at-home stuff. I think it's going to be very helpful for people to feel better, cut costs on healthcare a little bit, and optimize outcomes and patient satisfaction. I think it's really important.
Well, we certainly... You know, one of the aims of this particular, I mean, the name is, you know, fixing healthcare, right? And we've got to do it from the trenches, meaning that we cannot have simply healthcare administrative executives, bureaucrats, if you will, making all these decisions because they're not, you know, in the trenches with the patients, knowing what we need. So that being said, and obviously PopDoc is a great advance for that therapy component. What would you say overall, just one of the goals of this podcast is really to try to give some insights as to what we can do to fix our broken healthcare system,
I'm happy to.
So what would be three initiatives, like bam, bam?
Sure, I'm happy to lend my opinion to that, but I just want to say that I'm just really proud of you. Seriously, because you're going out on a limb.
Insurers
and other people that run the system, they're maybe not in love with you because you're calling them out.
Yeah, yeah.
You're saying,
I think Blue Cross is a bounty on my head, but
because we've been doing this for a long time and we've had the struggles and the frustrations and the being overworked and not, our value has not been realized, especially these days where we're getting cut down and it's harder to make a living as a doctor. Sure. It's crazy. So you're actually going out on a limb. Yeah. You're like, hey, I'm going to be that voice from the trenches to say, we got to do something to change this. And I'm a huge advocate of what you're doing.
But it takes a village. So that's why, you know, this is a forum for people who know. And as you know, two of the three last guests are legislators, right? We had Senator Bill Cassidy, gastroenterologist. I mean, he's in D.C. He did the podcast from D.C. And the previous one was Dr. Greg Murphy, who is a congressman, the third congressional district in North Carolina. Go Tar Heels, right? My sister lives in North Carolina, and he is a practicing urologist.
He's still
the only surgeon practicing in the Congress.
So interesting.
So these people are engaged.
That's one of the initiatives. Is getting to these people who can make change. Right. The policies that guide healthcare have to be changed. That's certainly a big initiative. So I'm glad you're embracing the political side of healthcare. It's important because someone's got to do it. And I'm saying you're breaking new ground here.
But it ultimately comes from the public. And if you saw some of the social changes that we've seen just in the last few years, some very good, very needed.
Yeah.
You saw that came from the public. I'm not sure what it's going to take. Right. And I hate to use this phrase now, but like, when is the I can't breathe moment for healthcare? When are people going to say, 20% of our economy, twice as expensive as the next country on the list. So it is not sustainable. So as a country, we soon will not be able to breathe with the cost of Medicare as our population ages. So from the trenches, give me three initiatives.
Well, that one is the policy changes.
Okay,
from
that's one.
The people
who can actually do it.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm going to write that down.
The policy change is really important. And I've come to know that over the years, because unless up top they make a change, and that's really it's not going to happen. Number two is, I think, putting doctors and practitioners in the C-suite of some of these big health systems, whether it's insurance or big healthcare, the hospital conglomerates, putting them up there so they can give them the opinion from the trenches and say, hey, I was doing X, Y, and Z, and this has to change, that has to change, that has to change. These business people running these health systems, they're doing it for the capitalistic side of things. Let's make money.
Which is fine, right? I mean,
it's
fine. I'm saying that you can do, you know, well by doing good, right? You can do well. So
absolutely.
I have no problem with an executive who makes healthcare efficient, that they do very well. Now, I don't think healthcare insurance companies should be on the stock exchange. I don't think they should be answering to investors. I think it's fine. There's so many nonprofit type companies, and this is an example, and it's fine. I mean, I know the CEO of United Way does very, very well. I have no problem with United Healthcare CEO doing very well if they make their company cost effective and they service their customers very well. But we're not seeing that.
No,
right?
We're not seeing that. And I think
MD's in a C-suite.
It's a little bit too much like a business instead of like a humanitarian type of thing. And so that's certainly another initiative that I think is going to be very beneficial.
Okay.
It's a slow change, but I think these things should be initiated. And I do believe that the human, the patient, does have to take some more accountability
absolutely.
In their own health.
Is that number three?
That's going to be number three.
Okay. Most of the guests have said this.
That with like love and passion. You're like, oh, you can do a little better. I wish you had a little more education of your own body. And so I went out on a limb and I created a nonprofit that is, it's called Joint Education Outreach.
Yep.
And it's helping underserved kids, you know, learn about their bodies a little bit before they damage it. Like if they're going to be athletes or if they just want to like have to take care of their family or carry their book bag, those simple things, you know, learning, education, it's a generational thing. It can't just happen overnight. So getting our young kids a little bit more in tune with what their body is, how it works and why to take care of it.
Yeah, less junk food, a little bit less computer time, less gaming and more exercise and social engagement. And that pays big dividends.
Oh, it is, but since it's not an immediate gratification, it's like a generational thing. It takes time. Yeah. But initiating that from a young age, I think, is going to be really important. And, you know, I've done a couple of TEDx talks, and so I encourage you to look me up on the internet and just see them. Let's do a plug here, David.
I mean, how do people get a hold and see what you're doing out there? What's the best way?
You know, through LinkedIn is really the best way because it just has all of my three or four companies that I'm running. And, you know, reaching jointeducation.org is a great way to just like, and what it is really, it's local doctors, whether it's a physical, a PMR doctor, an orthopedic doctor, a neurologist, family medicine doc, they go into the schools, they give an age appropriate presentation about what a joint is and how it functions, just so the students can kind of start thinking about, oh, that's my knee. Why does my knee hurt? Something like that. And that way it kind of builds education and it allows the doctor to go into the community and give back a little bit. And it also can be a sort of like a marketing type of thing because the handouts that we give the students, they go back to their parents and say, oh, this doctor gave me a great talk on my knee or my shoulder. Really, it's about all the joints in the body. But it's a great initiative.
Grandma benefits because they hear it from the grandchild.
And they say, oh, that doctor came to talk to you. I want to go see him or her.
So we need to do a lot of that with Ortho Now because that's our walk-in program. And really, it's about education because people think that they'll run to the emergency room. And you know, you go to the ER, right, at Kings County, right? I mean, I have a great story in my book about Kings County.
Oh, I'm sure you do. We'll have to get to that story. So I have a ton of stories from Kings County. It's a great place to train for sure. And it's come a long way over since I've been there. I've been there, was there a long time ago. Two little other things that I think are important is the doctors should stay in their lane a little bit. So meaning the primary care doc should not be just drop kicking an MRI the first time someone comes in with an ankle sprain. They should have
talk a little about education. Cost, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like you can order like 10 things, but if 8 of them are not necessary, it's okay to have a specialist in your back pocket and say, oh, let me throw it to my friend here, the orthopedic surgeon, or someone, even if it's like a heart specialist or a urologist, someone to like sit, just a second set of eyes, a second opinion built into the system, I think makes a ton of sense as far as saving and giving efficient and effective care. So the triple aim, it's like cutting down the cost, increasing patient satisfaction, and really just like doing the right thing.
If you're not going to act upon the result of that test, you know, typically I don't order a lot of cervical MRIs. Why? Because they're related to you, but I want my spine specialist to decide.
Yeah.
What, you know, what
100%
and where they want to do the study, right? There's certain magnets that are better for cervical than lumbar MRI. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a point on that. So as we age, our joints generally are not perfect. So you do an MRI on 150 year olds, at least 75% of them are going to have some damage in their joints. Right. So I like to believe like a good history and physical still should trump everything else.
Absolutely.
So the doctors, unfortunately, they're overworked. They got too many patients. They're not happy. They can't do that history and physical. They can't spend 10 minutes hearing about someone's wrist pain. It might be coming from the neck. So, you know, it's an important aspect and it's hard to get there because we are just burdened as physicians, meaning we're just getting thrown patients at us. We don't have time to spend and learn about the actual individual and try and help them. Instead, we're like, oh, neck pain for 2 months. You got a headache, a little tingling. MRI.
MRI, yeah.
Really not the right way to go.
Well, that leads into my three initiatives.
Thank you.
Which I'll give you. So it might be because what you say is it goes along with the number one, which is a right specialist, right time.
Yeah.
If you see the right clinician, the right specialist, often subspecials, at the right time, that's where you save a ton of money.
Why go?
You know, one of the reasons I started Ortho Now is as a hand guy, somebody would say wrist pain had already been to 3 people, but each of those people, of course, is sending a bill.
So think about
the cost of that. Second one is that we need oversight, right? As clinicians, we make mistakes, but not authorization.
right?
Somebody sitting at a desk shouldn't authorize us. I find so the word actually insulting. I find it highly insulting.
Yeah.
In fact, last night, shout out, I couldn't because I was at an important business dinner. But last night, Joey, I'll be having dinner with him tonight, actually. Ira Kirschenbaum, you know, Ira, who's chairman at Bronx Health. Yeah. Shout out to what he did. He smart turned guy around love Bronx that Health, a yeah losing
yeah
healthcare system. He, the orthopedic department is actually making money. And and Ira started the Journal of Orthopedic Experience and Innovation, Joey, right?
Yep.
And Joey yesterday had a whole round table on authorization.
Oh,
so
lovely.
Finally, things that, you know, I'd like to say I have a small part in this happening, but people are pushing back on authorization. But we do need oversight. There yeah are bad apples. There are mistakes, so we do need to have oversight. Yeah. And that's
we have to uphold our credentials. Right. We have to be making the right decisions. But I think it's worth it to get rid of the authorization. Because after all our training, and if we're like board certified and up on all our stuff, you know, I think that we should be able to be make our own decisions.
Make decisions. And, yeah, exactly. And just want oversight, but not, yeah, not impediments, hurdles every step of the way. And the last one is what we're doing here now, David,
yeah,
is public education. That is the third initiative in order to try to fix healthcare. The public needs to know first what the problems are. I wish I could tell you that in my book, yeah, even though the last chapter uh-huh says, you know, gives some ideas from the 26 contributors.
Yeah.
But I think we need to know first what the problems are
right
before we can fix healthcare. So thank you for joining us.
It's a long road, and I yep have faith in the healthcare system. But if you look at the data, we are just lagging behind other countries, and it shouldn't be that way. We have so much
yeah
here in this country.
Well, we'll
so we're getting
we'll get there with initiatives.
We're fighting a good fight for real.
Well, and thank you.
You are too. You're leading the way, brother. Thank you.
Well, so till next time, see everyone in 2 weeks with our podcast, and please share this. You can like it, but if you share it,
yeah,
and we talk about it, we get a dialogue. I want to hear arguments. I want to hear critiques. We need to get engaged in this process, and I will see everyone in 2 weeks from our podcast, Fixing Healthcare from the Trenches.
Stay strong.